Well, good evening. It's Thursday night again. It is 9:03, and this is the first day of spring, March 21st, and this is the discussion call where any of the members can speak about whatever they would like to talk about, and as a result, the information transferred is that of the speakers themselves and not necessarily in agreement with NLA. But you're free to talk about anything you like. Terry has another commitment this evening, so she won't be with us. So it's up to you people. I hope you saved up one or two things from last week that you'd like to talk about. And now is an excellent time to go ahead and get started. So if anybody would like to open up with a comment, a thought, or a proposal, or something we could do for the website, for NLA, or in general, I just pop it out now. Everybody must have sticky fingers, can't move it over to their mic button, huh? Just as a point of possible interest, I've been talking to a Native American woman. She's on the Flathead Reservation out in middle Montana, western edge, above Missoula, between there and Lake Kalispell. And she's written several books. She's quite well educated. And she would like to come in and talk to NLA about the way they've handled, the federal government has handled Native Americans, and in relation to the Constitution, because, you know, everybody in the country is supposed to be under the Constitution. And talking about a group that has been completely and totally abused since time began when the first Spaniards came into South America. So it might be interesting. Probably be into April before we can arrange to have her come on if we can. But I think everybody would enjoy that. It'd be a little change of pace and something different and another perspective. Got to be completely and totally different than our perspective on the judicial system and the sheriffs and so on. They have their own sheriffs. She was telling me it's kind of interesting. They had like 75 tribes throughout the whole country. And when the government passed that gaming bill, which allowed Native Americans to have casinos on their property, they found that there are now something like 573 different tribes, and they can all have casinos and that sort of thing on their property. So it's interesting to see what drives things. I know I lived in North Stonington, Connecticut for about 17, 18 years. We had two huge casinos. One was really big. It was about 3 miles from where I lived. They ran tour buses in there from Boston and New York constantly. They had a huge hotel. And then we had another one that was a little bit smaller. It was about 10 miles away. And I think the big one was the Pequot Indians, and I think the other were Mashantucket. But I think he only had to have, I don't know, something like 10 or 12 members to have a tribe, so that's why the number of tribes grew so rapidly. And so with that, I assume someone has come up with a topic for this evening.
That sounds interesting about the Native American Indian woman. I hope that she'll be able to come and speak soon. That would be nice.
Yep, I think that'll be a lot of fun.
Yes, it will. It's very interesting. Our history just continuously repeats itself, and yep. I try to learn as much as I can about history. I didn't like it when I was younger because I didn't see the purpose of it, but now that I know, it's a big deal.
Right. When the first Spaniards hit the coast, there were about 90-some thousand Native Americans in North and South America. And 90 million, excuse me. And there are about 3 million left in North and South Dakota. So you talk about genocide. That's a primary example of it. And it's interesting because now that they're becoming educated and attorneys and hiring attorneys and so on, they've got some good suits running in the government to take back some of the areas. And there might be people that find out that they're living on a reservation again if that goes through. There's a couple of pretty good sized ones out there.
Hello, Jim.
Hi, Jim. What you got?
Yeah, well, the Native Americans are people too. So, I would think that if people come from all over the world and get treated like citizens here, not legally, but I mean when they're legal, these guys were here ahead of time.
Yep.
So I would think that. But I would imagine that most of them would vote not to be included because now they kind of have it so good, and if they were to be included under the privileges that the Constitution offers, then they'd probably be in the same boat that we're in, you know?
Well, they
makes you wonder.
Yeah, go ahead.
Makes you wonder whether or not they actually want to even entertain the idea of joining up with us. Plus, there's a lot of bad blood, you know. But I guess that would be an individual person's decision, you know, to leave their nation.
Well, no, that's not what's going on, really. They are attempting to take back lands that were illegally taken from them by treaty violation and things like that. So they would have a larger reservation, so to speak. Yeah, she kind of chuckled. I know, for example, in Oklahoma, they drove the Cherokee out of the southeast in the Trail of Tears, and they ran them all the way out to Oklahoma because they figured it was absolutely useless, worthless land. Well, guess what? There was oil under that land. So then you started having some of these chiefs and stuff out there driving around in their Rolls Royce. So then what did the government do? They said, well, these people are not responsible. They don't know how to handle their money. They need a financial overseer. So they put a financial overseer in charge of them to siphon off all their funding. But it's been interesting. There's huge deposits of coal and uranium and stuff like that under the lands they were forced to move to. And those assets are, worth one whopping amount of money. And if they let them develop it, why, they will be very rich. But I think it's just hilarious that they're taking money from the white people with their casinos, and they just flock to them, and spend their bucks. I think that's really an interesting karma.
Yeah, I think their days are of having them nice casinos. I mean, yeah, people still go to them, but more and more states are becoming that. It's getting to the point where there's going to be a casino like on every street. Well, not every street corner, but there'll be enough of them around where it'll just be diluted.
Yeah. It's already happening in some areas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I agree.
But, they do have their own hierarchy. They do have their own governing body. And they have their own marshals or sheriffs and things like that on the reservation and so on. But when driving through a number of them last summer, you couldn't really tell any difference between being on a reservation or being off it. In fact, the whole west, I drove through South Dakota, Wyoming, up into Montana and around, and I think I saw one, maybe two troopers in all that time. I didn't see any agency police that I knew of. I assume they have markings on their vehicles just like the state troopers do. But it's very low-key, which I liked. It isn't like driving through Ohio where the roads are worn out by the police cars running around on them, or New York State. They're both about the same as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. So it would be nice to listen to find out. I can imagine they're under some kind of civil law of their own, right? Of their own.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they have their own laws. Yeah.
But is it akin to common law, or is it, I mean, I really can't imagine them making books and books of statutes.
Well, they probably forced them into some statutes, knowing the government, and they took the kids away and sent them off to school to be trained and stuff. And to keep control over them, I imagine they passed a lot of statutes about what they could do and not do. But enforcement may be another issue.
Yeah, I imagine they kind of put the whole nation under the statutory prison, per se, you know, by letting them, you know,
right,
letting them do this and that. That was all done by statute, so then
they
kind of agreed to it all by doing it. So I thought that was interesting conversation last night about the compact versus the contract on the Constitution. I've heard that argument before. Many have brought it up that, you know, the states are the ones that are the problem, letting the federal government run rip shot over everything. But that's just a person's opinion. I mean, somebody reads it one way, they read it another, you know.
Well, to me, it was really interesting and scary, because it shows how the bar has corrupted the education system for the attorneys. She says that's taught in all law schools, that it's all contract law. You contract with the Constitution. Well, that's complete and total garbage, pardon the expression. And John is going to talk about that on Monday night, just to clear up any misconceptions that people might have gotten from that call.
Of what? What's the misconception again?
That you're dealing with the Constitution, it's all contract. It's all contract law. UCC crap. That's
okay.
Their common law. That's, you don't have common law, in other words. You have contract law. And that's the way you deal with it, and that's how we got in the mess we're in.
But isn't the Constitution for the government, not for the people?
Well, you're contracting with the government through the Constitution, I guess, was the way she meant it.
But we did. We did contract with them, but we gave them enumerated powers. And there they have overstepped them. That's when we lost control.
Yeah, it'll all come out, and John's going to take time and go through it all for everybody on Monday night. So tune in. Don't miss it. It should be interesting.
I'll be there to listen.
Good.
Did you hear the new executive order the president just signed?
No. What did he sign today?
Any university that has a so-called free speech zone?
Ah.
As long as they keep that little free speech zone, they're not going to get any more federal money.
Good deal. That's been long overdue.
He's going to expose all the funds, all the monies of all the universities to public knowledge, and he's going to put the educational system to put skin in the game on helping these students pay back some of these student loan debts. He's going to address the escalating cost of universities of higher education on the last 20 years or so. Now it's just like they've done a hockey stick, because they're no longer responsible. It's the people that are responsible for the money, and they're just raping the people.
Yep. So, isn't that a fact?
He just did it with an executive order. He's putting a kibosh on the on the educational system in America, on this free speech.
About time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Berkeley's not going to like that, is he?
Well,
a lot of others.
In the land of the free, we get the free speech.
Yep.
We have the First Amendment because we have the Second.
Yep.
Well, it's the land of the fee.
And the home
of the fee, F-E-E.
Yes, and the home of the slaves.
We're fixing to change that, correct?
Yes.
Yep.
I always thought it was land of the fee because of the slaves.
Yeah.
Well, in any way, they created us.
Well, we let it happen. We didn't take
our ancestors let it happen.
Right.
Well, we're just picking up, we're just claiming what our ancestors failed to claim.
Yeah.
That's pretty simple. Simple enough. People can understand that.
Yep.
Simplicity.
So, I was thinking today of a memorandum of law declaring our sovereignty in law, you know, with the cases and stuff. So, because almost every time we go into court, they tell us what to do. So we have to get down to the point where we put this memorandum of law in there and say, refer to the memorandum of law on sovereignty. And because of that, we'll take what you said under advisement. And that's about it.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll get back to you and let you know what we're going to allow you to do. Once people start seeing that we're talking like that, that's the empowerment that we need to have said. And it's not disrespectful. It's actually respectful because we're just reclaiming what was always ours and which was fraudulently taken away.
Well, the judges get a pretty good vocabulary to come back at you and let you know just who you are in his court.
That's the key item. It's his court. We need to get out of his court into our court.
Right. The power of knowledge is absolutely right. You're absolutely right. Remove yourself from his jurisdiction. Don't give him jurisdiction.
It's easier said than done if you're not in the court standing up in front of the judge.
Right.
They do intimidate you and they use the wordplay.
Yep.
And if you don't have the knowledge, you're done.
Very true.
The judge was fixing to accuse me of using that wordplay on me. I didn't give a chance. I said, I am here for my trial. I don't see my arresting officer anywhere. I don't see my officer anywhere.
When I went and took the mandamus to the Charleston, South Carolina courts, they had no idea what the paper was, and they said that there was no way to file it. And it needed some type of case number. And not only that, that same day, Deputy Sheriff, woman, practically chased me all across the court. I thought I was in trouble in some type of violation because I didn't turn in my cell phone or something. Sweet, kind voice. Do you have any more of those common law books? Can I have more?
No, really?
Yes.
Good for her, yeah.
She really enjoyed that. I hope that she took the test.
Yep. It's seldom you get a positive surprise like that out of a law officer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, they're people too.
Yes.
Well, hopefully they're not like Obama, learning the Constitution to see how they're going to twist it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we all sit here. I can't imagine why anybody would give themselves up like these people do to this so-called higher authority. I mean, don't they have any scruples? Do they not know what they're doing, that they're being played?
I think the top echelon knows exactly what they're doing, and they're making money hand over fist and enjoying it. You can't be ignorant, you know, of all that going on at the top level.
Jim Blood. These people
Well, that might buy you some nice days in the sun and on the beach and stuff like that, but then in the afterlife, you know, it's hell.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, they're clearly not thinking about the future. So, with selfishness and pride like that, they're not going to go far.
Well, I heard they've got their own children, so they don't care about their own children. They don't care about anybody.
Yeah, they abuse their own kids as bad as anybody else's, you know? Or worse, really. Okay.
Yeah, but there has to be a time they wake up in the middle of the night and ask themselves, what the heck am I doing?
Well, that implies they have a conscience, and I'm not so sure about that. Or they wouldn't be in it, you know?
Well, I mean, yeah, but as far as for the people like on this call, we can't. I just can't fathom it, really.
No.
Either. I question that myself.
We're dealing with the 1%. 1% don't have to deal with 90%. Of the environment that we are subject to. Their mind, their psychological mindset is totally different than ours.
They must not have souls.
Well, not they got a soul, baby. That's not my point.
They might not have a soul.
Yeah, may not. Maybe they sold their soul. Isn't that what most have done?
Yes.
Okay.
This is California Fred. I'd like to make a comment about Judicial Watch. Judicial Watch is turning in what they call a white paper, and what they want to do is take this emergency that President Trump has declared and call the Mexican drug cartels terrorists.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants to put forth, if you read the paper, the white paper, as it's called, at Judicial Watch, it's a 16-page document that spells out five different points that they want the federal government to adopt. And that would be to eliminate all money transferring from California or United States into Mexico, unless it can be somehow certified not to be going to a coyote or a drug cartel, but to an actual family. But anyway, you read the thing and you'll see what I mean. I don't know if you're behind this or not. I don't know what National Liberty Alliance approach is to Judicial Watch. But I'd like to make another point about the Indians. Back in the early 80s, they closed down in San Francisco. They closed down the prison at the island there, Alcatraz, and the
right.
Indians had a contract with the federal government that if they ever closed down the prison, that they would be able to get their land back. So we had all kinds of Indian protests along the pier in San Francisco trying to get their land back, and the federal government refused to give it back on the grounds that they needed to have a lighthouse, and the federal government was maintaining the lighthouse. So there's just another rancid example of how our federal government does what the hell they want, just like the Bundys, just like what's going on up in,
yep,
you know, the uranium deal, everything. It's time we use the 10th Amendment and wrangle these people, hogtie them. I yield.
I see Amazon has Bury My Heart at Wounded Knee, which was the last massacre of about 300 and some Native Americans in South Dakota, and then The Trail of Tears, another movie. They have them both, and if you're a member of Prime, why, they're both free to watch if you want to catch up on some of the history. It's hard to tell. Dee Brown wrote the first book I ever saw on Bury My Heart at Wounded Knee. It's probably patterned after that. But it was a totally depressing book to read because there were, I forget how many, 16 tribes they went through. And after you read the first one, the story was the same for each one thereafter. They just went in and massacred them, decimated them until they were forced to submit to living on a little reservation, you know. And The Trail of Tears was certainly a disaster, too. The Cherokee are kind of interesting. I went out to Cherokee National Powwow one time 20 years ago. And it goes on for 4 or 5 days. And they have shopping areas, different places around. And then they have the ceremony areas and so on. Going through the shopping areas is really interesting. I ran across a woman probably in her mid-30s, and she wrote children's books. She's a beautiful red-headed, blue-eyed Cherokee, and apparently there are any number of red-headed, blue-eyed Cherokees, which I thought was kind of neat. Also, I read the other day that the Pentagon had come up with something like $12.8 million they were going to give Trump for his wall that they thought they could spare. It really ticked the Democrats off. So I guess we're going to get a wall built, probably. And that would be a good thing. You got to stop this nonsense.
Yeah, it works for Nancy.
Miss Pelosi?
Yeah, that's the one.
She wasn't happy about that. She didn't want to see any money for that. Sorry about that. I should have mooned out. I guess it's Julie at 7588. I can hear your radio playing in the background.
Oh, really? I didn't know I was on. I thought I was muted. Come on.
That's okay. I can mute you if you can't mute. Oh, there you go.
Okay, we're good.
Okay. Well, what's everybody else listened to this week?
Hi, this is Eva from Vermont.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hi, I just have a question. Back in 1990, when it was reversed that Muslims can now become part of the government. How does something like that get changed back to the original form that the Founding Fathers...
What did you say got changed back to the government?
The Muslims, the Islamics, being able to hold office. How does that get changed back to the original, as the Founding Fathers had originally said they would never be, should hold office because their allegiance is different than our Constitution?
Well, if you're talking about the 13th Amendment being affected, they claim that's going to be reestablished. And when it is, then those people that have Esquire titles and so on will be removed from office.
You're talking about lawyers, bar people. I'm talking about Muslims.
Oh, Muslims.
Yeah, that hold a different allegiance.
Well, they can hold it, but they can't use their Sharia law in this country, supposedly.
Supposedly. So seeing that got changed in 1990 for them to be able to be voted into office, how does that get changed back? Does that have to come through Congress and then Senate? Or how does that happen?
In other words, you want it reversed.
It depends on how it was done. If it was in violation of the Constitution to start with or not. If it wasn't in violation, then it'll have to be redone as a new law.
No. Okay.
But if it was in violation of the Constitution, then you can just... when you have a common law court, I guess, run it through and make that argument, and it should go away.
Got it. Thank you.
This is Julie from North Carolina. How can it not be a violation of the Constitution when to be a Muslim and believe in Sharia law goes totally against anything that we have in our Constitution and the Bill of Rights?
Well, the Sharia law.
Women,
yeah.
Well, they control women. That in of itself alone is a violation.
Yeah.
Well, not only control women, but they actually do mutilations and...
Yes.
Right.
They're treated terribly.
Yep. Yeah.
So that's a humanitarian issue also. So, in the fact that because of their beliefs and what they do, and it's not a republic for sure, because their religion is their way of life, whereas in our country we have a republic, and then we have our religious beliefs, so to speak. I don't understand how we can allow persons who have those beliefs to even run for government in a governmental office, political position, as well as what we're seeing happening right now where these far-left socialists want to run. And how do we expect to hold on to our Constitution, Declaration of Independence, which is even older than our Constitution, when we're getting socialists who are helping make or change laws in our country? I mean, it's like we're giving away the baby with the bathwater.
And the problem you have right now is that it takes money to fight that, and nobody has contested those laws. And those that are in violation, if any part of that law is in violation of the Constitution, you can throw the whole thing out. But it has to make its way to the Supreme Court for that process.
It's funny. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Judicial Watch has already addressed something along that line, but I have no idea.
For For some reason, when you speak, your voice is very blurred, and I can hardly understand what you're saying. I don't know why.
Oh, wow. Oh, I don't know why either.
Somebody messing with your microphone, maybe. They don't want you to say what you're saying.
I hope not.
But like Sharia law should never stand. That should never have been enacted. It should be just disbanded and go away. And the first time somebody gets enough gumption or enough money to fight it, it will. The problem we have now is we don't have a republic. We don't have a democracy. We're living in an oligarchy. And as such, there's a lot of things we don't have recourse to until we get it sorted out.
Right. Until we get rid of the attorneys and the bar and all that stuff, too.
Yep.
Or take over a court system again.
Yep, exactly.
I just had an attorney tell me the other day that what I was speaking on, as far as traveling, you know, and the Commerce Clause and all that, she's telling me, well, that being all theory, I start laughing. I don't think so.
Yeah, there's going to be some changes made. We'll get the right to travel back and a lot of other things that
mm-hmm.
we never knew were missing, you know?
Yeah, it's amazing.
But, you know, when you take a group that's really dedicated to subversion and you let them work for 100 years or 150 years, it's amazing what they can do.
Mm-hmm.
And they sure did it.
Yeah, sometimes it doesn't matter how many people you have in the movement. It's how many people are actually, that's how I want to put it. I mean, you could have a small group just like you do with the far left.
Yeah.
You know, it's all about the propaganda, you know, when it comes
right.
to the voting and everything. But just the movement in and of itself, you don't necessarily need a lot of people.
Yep, that's amazing. How few they can take over a country with.
Mm-hmm.
Well, even the first revolution we had, what was it, 3% of the people were involved in it. A third of them didn't care, a third of them were pro-British, a third were pro-independence. And they managed to get like 3% out to save us, or create us, however you want to look at it.
All right.
Yeah, so that means we need like 70,000 people to do it? We're at 7,000?
That's more than that. We got 30 million. 3% would be 9 million.
Yeah, maybe I didn't get my figures right.
Yeah, you got that one off of that video.
Yeah, but I like the 3%ers, though. That definitely was true back then.
Yep.
I wanted to chime in on that Sharia law. I mean, the way that Brent was talking about it is that it's just another form of the civil law, the, you know, all these things. They're not common law. They're other different laws. And but it seems as though those people are consenting to that. And, of course, if they're not consenting, then it would just be the fact that they would just have to have an affidavit and declare themselves to be one of the people. I mean, I could, the canon law is similar in its application as Sharia law. It's a law based on a religious traditions and stuff. And, but the thing is if I don't consent to it, then it has no power over me. So once people understand that in Sharia law, then of course their religion is going to go down the tube, just like most of the others nowadays that are not giving into the human, you know, the human experiment of rights and freedoms and stuff. So are these other, the statutory laws, the prisons that they got us in. You know, they're building them night and day, but sooner or later there's not going to be anybody in them because we're not going to consent to it. Once the word gets out, then that's going to be it.
I think so. You're right for the males of that group, but not the females. Females are totally dominated, and they can't leave.
Well, I mean, the females in the other churches were totally dominated too.
To
a certain extent, maybe not in the same manner, but they're just going to, you know. The fact is that with Sharia law, I don't have any influence over it. I mean, because it's not injuring me. So if someone's holding a law over your head and you're allowing it to happen, then you're allowing it to happen. I guess they have to get the freedom in their mind too, you know, that they're not enslaved to it, you know, to a religion or to a faith. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Can you hear me, or am I still kind of muffled?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay.
Yeah.
The man that just spoke and said something that's not infringing upon him, my first thought is that we know of. Because there's a lot of things that infringe upon us, different laws that we aren't even aware of, like our taxes, tax without representation, things like that, that we don't even realize are infringing upon our lives. Now, when you allow that many people, just like they do in France, the Muslims, where they have their own communities and the police won't even go in those communities because they police themselves, that's an infringement right there on the country in and of itself. You know, they're taking over areas of that land. And who's to say that can't happen here? Because for some reason, these politicians, because they want the votes, they're willing to let these kind of things happen. I think that's why we see it so crazy right now.
Yeah, that's all part of the plan to take over the government and the country, you know?
Right.
So when we get that stopped, you should see some major changes.
But wouldn't that in fact be violating their right to practice their faith in the manner which they've been taught?
Well, not under common law. If you're damaging another individual, say your wife or her children or whatever, you're going to have to pay. So you can have freedom of religion so long as you aren't hurting or damaging or killing or maiming or whatever people, you know?
Yes, because
I understand if you pass them through there and they inflict their Sharia law on you, that would be a different story. But as far as inside that community, not that I agree with it, but I'm just saying that because it's a faith-based type of law, then you would be, now over in France, who cares what goes on over there? But over here, you know, I mean, we have the Amish communities and the ones out in Utah and stuff like that, and they freely do what they want. Of course, they didn't do the same thing with Koresh down there in Texas, you know. So you're not totally out of it, but I think that if we tried to suppress them, then that would just we would end up probably getting.
I'm sorry, but the Amish are not saying that they want to have a caliphate either.
Yeah.
Yes, but when one comes into our country, isn't it an expectation that they know the laws and follow our laws?
Exactly.
Only if they become a citizen. They should know something about our laws if they become a citizen. Other than that, you can stay and be uninformed.
That's one thing that Trump said during that speech today, signing that executive order, having us not be silent and being able to speak our truth and accepting behavior like that, whether they're citizens or not, is part of being silent, because they came there, it was their choice to come here. And I was looking it up, and it was in 1952 that, what was it called? Oh, my gosh. Where is it? It was the McCain. Karen-Walter Act of 1952 that actually banned Muslims from holding office. And then it was changed in 1990.
Well, there wasn't.
Well, it would seem that if a Muslim was holding office and then violated his oath of office, then he's not holding office anymore.
Well, exactly.
But
because
you could say that about a lot of office holders that are in there now, even on the local levels. They just don't honor their oath. And, of course, the government conspires to keep them in there in dishonor because the whole government is dishonorable anyway. And I guess that's probably what would happen under Sharia law, is that if it ever tried to get squashed out, they wouldn't go to the Supreme Court and say, that's our religion and all, because they would say, well, you're enforcing it on other people that, without their consent.
Yes.
But the whole thing about that at all is that that's running rampant nowadays, so... I guess I see your point. We really shouldn't rely on the Supreme Court or any other court actually judging fairly, because they're not doing it nowadays, mm-hmm. even without Sharia law. Mm-hmm. So I see your point. I just wanted to play devil's advocate.
Oh, and I like that because it makes one think. I am an advocate for debate, wicked, because it brings people together. That's one thing Trump was saying, to have a healthy discourse, because we have to come together. We have to, regardless. And having differences help build America, not separate us. He did a really, really good speech. And then also, I'm not sure if everybody heard about all the news today, not mainstream media, of course, but there's a lot coming out that's going to be bringing us all together really quickly. That Mac woman has given names, and they're going to start with Hollywood. It's all coming out. It's going to start with Hollywood, and then, of course, he'll go right back up. Because Weinstein, all his things
right.
are going to be opened up.
No more movies.
Yeah, exactly.
Clean the whole house out.
Yep, that's and they say it's worse than what we imagine.
I think we're probably pretty well aware of how bad it is, you know.
Yep.
Well,
yeah, my imagination is pretty wild.
No.
Yep.
Yeah.
This winter from Tennessee. The Muslims have been growing in the United States quite rapidly.
Yes,
they're growing in the United States rapidly for a reason.
Yep.
And the Muslims themselves cannot say anything bad about another Muslim. So in doing so, the Sharia law and the Constitution cannot coexist, and you cannot take Sharia out of the Muslim. So the only alternative left is that these Muslims pack up and go back to their country where they can practice their faith openly and freely rather than trample on the freedoms of the people in the United States. And we have to challenge them in court, because Anton Scalia said it the best when he asked Trey Gowdy, you know, when Trey Gowdy asked Anton Scalia what does he do when he comes across an unconstitutional law. And the judge told Trey Gowdy, he says, you get first crack at it. You take the same oath of office I do. You write the laws. You have to write constitutional laws. But what I do when you write an unconstitutional law is I ignore it. So that law is still a law. He just ignores it.
Yeah.
But people that have to abide by them laws until we challenge it to get to the Supreme Court for them to say it's unconstitutional.
That's why it's important, NLA and its work.
Well, we need to start challenging these people that are on the Sharia law and what they're doing to the people, blocking them from attending public events based on who they are. That's not freedom. all people should be allowed to attend open events.
Yes, Trump even said that today.
Well, you know, the Muslims and Keith Ellison is already banning people from attending events that is being sponsored by Muslims. So it's a Muslim-only event, you know, unless, you know, you're, you know, special permission. And that's got to stop.
Well, they do have a number of areas around the country. I think it's in the order of 30 where they do jihad training, you know.
Well, and again, the militia people are on top of that. They know where they're at.
Yep.
But I don't understand why our Department of Justice is allowing it to happen. Now, are they allowing it to happen to spiderweb these guys, to follow them, surveil them? But they're not keeping that many under tab, for sure. We got a serious problem with the Muslims in the United States.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised by what we're supporting them financially.
Well,
they're the Trojan horse.
It's all part of the New World Order. It's all part of September 21, all part of the United Nations. This is all part of the plan. We know that. Most of the people on this call know that.
Well, when our government allows these people, these Muslims and whatnot, to come into our country and live here, and even ambassadors and whatnot from these countries who are Muslim and have sex slaves. No, they have sex slaves right in our country. There's something seriously wrong with all that. That's spiritual warfare.
That's the deep state.
It is. We're not dealing with flesh and blood.
Yeah, that's the deep state doing all these things.
I think it was while Jefferson was in, we had the Barbary Wars, and we banned Muslims from entering the country. I wonder if that law was ever changed or whether it's still there on the books.
Well, I don't know, but the story about General Pershing is back in 1907. He captured 50 Muslims. He lined them all up. He got out the pigs. He dipped all the bullets in the pigs. And he killed 49 of them. He let the 50th one go. There was never a problem for Muslims for the next 75 years. Well, that's because he killed them all with bacon-riddled fat from the pigs and killed them all with them bullets. It's against their religion.
Yeah, in Canada, they had a school. A group of Muslims petitioned the school to stop serving pork in their school lunches. And so the governor of the whatever wrote a letter saying that if they don't like their ways, then they can just leave the country, that they're not going to change laws for them.
That's good.
Keep in mind that these Muslims that we're talking about, they train these people at a very young age. I mean, as soon as you're able to walk, they're training these people to kill the infidel. And we are the infidel. So it's just a matter of time. Okay? And they're training these people the same way here in the United States as they train them over there in their own country to kill the infidel. That's what they're doing now. They're training right here in our own country, in front of us, and we're allowing it to happen.
Well, that's one of the reasons why when Obama was in office, they brought in Common Core. They wanted to get into our education system and control it even more. We need to get rid of the Department of Education and the federal government.
Granted, the Department of Education needs to be broken up and thrown back into the Department of the State Department of States. Each state needs to take part. That's what Ron Paul wanted to do.
We need government, but we don't need them to get that big and that powerful. If we didn't have the government, we would live to protect our property.
The one thing I take issue with is they're reasonably honest amongst themselves, but they feel that it's fine to lie to an infidel to get whatever they want, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
They're a different breed of people. They're just a different breed of people.
They want to infiltrate and then take over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, only 2% of the population travel abroad and never have an opportunity to experience how other people live around the world. When they go on experience how people live around the world, they might think twice about wanting them to come live here. Here they are.
I don't mean to change the subject, but who was our main contact person for in Pennsylvania?
Say again.
Do we have a main, like say a main contact person for in Pennsylvania through
yeah,
NLA?
That would be me.
Oh, it's you.
Yeah, it's me, Jan.
Okay,
I live in
Jan.
The dead center of Pennsylvania.
Harrisburg?
In Air State College.
Oh, do you? Okay, well, I grew up about an hour and a half north of there.
Oh, okay.
So, Dubois, St. Mary's area.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'm going to... Yeah, your phone number is on the website, right?
Yeah.
Okay. It's sometimes hard to finagle around that website. Sometimes I'll see it, and I was like, where did I see that? So
yeah.
I'll have to look you up again.
Yeah, go to the directory page, to the top of the directory page.
All right, I'll do that, Jan. Thanks a lot.
Okay.
This is California Fred again. Since we're talking about Muslims, I'd like to remind everyone that during the Barack Obama administration, he was calling anybody that was a Christian, a gun owner, or a veteran, or anyone who believed in the Constitution was considered a terrorist.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What we need to do is go back in time and figure out how Obama, who was also a member of the Muslim Brotherhood, who turned around and allowed Loretta Lynch to go to the United Nations and surrender our sovereignty to the United Nations, to where they could come in and be the UN police force in America, and how they could turn around and Obama gave away the internet. You can see what's going on in censorship there. And how he allowed all these Muslims to infiltrate America. I think that's a bigger story than the Mexican invasion. I yield.
I'm not sure they're not running hand in hand. How many people coming in from Mexico? I saw the numbers of how many countries are represented in those groups of people coming in, and it's horrific. I mean, 50 or 100 different countries. And a lot of them are ex-ISIS and stuff like that.
Definitely need to get a hold of this, like yesterday.
There's just so much.
One might be surprised at how many investigations are really ongoing right now addressing those issues that were just mentioned.
Well, you got to realize that the investigators must have been really busy for the last couple of years with those 85,000 indictments, so maybe they've got some freed up now that they're pretty well done with that to take a look at these other issues.
I sure hope so.
Well, if the FBI can go through 100,000 emails in 72 hours, I'm sure that's a good thing.
Yeah. 2 points I wanted to make is, I think what's happening is because of the mainstream media, I mean, they really are our enemy. People are not waking up. But things are beginning to happen now where people are going to be brought together. And then these issues, I think, will be easier to address because we really do need everybody on the same page. And What was the other thing that somebody, what was the second point I was going to make? What were we talking about after that?
We're all hopeless. We've got no memory.
Yeah, something like that. Something like that.
This is California. Fred again. I want to bring up an interesting point. At the end of World War II, I believe it was Eisenhower, took the United States Army and cleaned out all illegal aliens from the whole United States. Now, what Trump is about to do is take down our world banking system and get rid of the foreign bankers. And at that time, I think he should use the United States military to wipe out the 20 million illegal aliens that are here with overstay visas or however else they got here, get rid of all of them and get back to America first. Hi, you.
Julie again in North Carolina. I think if President Trump doesn't take this, I think he takes everything seriously, but if he plans on taking certain issues so far, and he doesn't follow through with other things that have a direct or indirect effect on more serious issues in our country, it's just going to end up being a domino effect. It's not going to all come together. In other words, one issue maybe can't fully be successful without taking care of another issue. You know, like the man was saying, getting rid of all the illegals and maybe getting rid of the Muslims, and I don't know if we'll see it go that far. I think he's more concerned about getting rid of the corruption in our government and all the main people, all the main figureheads that have been put in place since Clinton were in the White House, at least back till the early 90s.
I think it's all connected. Once one is taken care of, the others are just going to rise to the top. And what I was going to say that I forgot earlier was, is everybody aware that there are already tribunals going on in regards to 9/11? Uh-uh. Yes, they've been going on since January. I forget the name of, huh?
Is that the one started by that group of engineers and scientists?
No, this is coming from this one couple who is not mainstream media. They're from YouTube, and they are keeping track because they were invited to participate to be able to be the newscasters of these tribunals.
For the 9/11 only.
Right now, that's all that's going on, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Down in Maryland, I believe. So there is stuff happening. Because once that's blown out, my word, that'll tell a story.
Yeah, that had all the major players tucked into it.
Yes,
This is California Fred. In New York, they have a grand jury investigation of the 9/11, what's going on in New York.
All right.
I don't know about Florida, but that's been going on for about a year and a half now. I yield.
Well, we're about 10 minutes after the hour. Does anybody have any last parting shots they would like to make?
This is Eva from Vermont. I just want to say thank you. This is my first time ever speaking up since June of 2018.
Wow.
So thank you for allowing me to speak.
Glad you found your voice.
Julie from North Carolina. I got on late, so I don't know if this was brought up, but I don't know if anybody heard, but today on the Hannity show on the radio, on Patriot Radio, he was talking to Mike, the one that has MyPillow, and they were also speaking to a lady who used to work for Planned Parenthood, and Mike pretty much put in all, if not most, of the money to produce a movie about her story when she got out of Planned Parenthood in 2008, and why she got out, and the organization she started to try to help people working in Planned Parenthood to get other jobs and get out of it. And the movie's supposed to come out, I guess, the end of March. And apparently, and I don't remember who sets the ratings on the movies, but apparently it was rated R. So that means it's gonna, you know, a lot of the kids aren't going to be able to see it. Like, and but I don't really know what the content of it is. She started explaining on the radio because Hannity asked her, you know, what exactly prompted it. And she started talking about how they had done an abortion of a 13-week-old baby, and they did an ultrasound. They were doing an ultrasound so they could see the picture all the while, you know, this was all happening and that. And that's when she decided to leave and then started eventually this organization, nonprofit, to get people out of Planned Parenthood. But how profitable it is. That. So you might want to keep your eye out for that movie. And Mike was saying that isn't it amazing how God works, that right when we have these far left Democrats wanting to run for President of the United States, and they're talking about infanticide and everything, and all this crap happening from California to New York, we have this movie coming out.
Anyone else have any parting comments? Well, I guess I'll shut down the recording.